Well, my buddy, another Marky Mark, Mark Levine, though, is in the house tonight. He is a great friend of mine personally and professionally, and he fills in for me. He does a great job. He's also host of his own show in Washington, D.C., a radio talk show called The Inside Scoop. He serves up all the news the government doesn't want you to know. We have him on the show tonight, not only as my friend, not only because he's a great guest and a regular guest on the show, not only because he sits in for me, but he's also an ex-congressional attorney. He served the Democrats on the Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees. And not only is he in the past on his show and on my show explained and able to understand and explain how Washington really works, he actually fought some of the great battles of the early Bush administration. By the way, you can hear his podcast from his website. He has a podcast every day at RadioInsideScoop.com. And it's a pleasure to bring my buddy on, Mark Levine, in this hour. Hello, darling. I'm so glad that you made it to us. I hope it wasn't too much stress getting here after getting off plane.
I made it just in time to be on the show, so it was good timing.
Okay, perfect. You know, healthcare reform legislation passed. Some people pick up bricks, some people cut gas lines, and some people say, we're going to sue you. State by state, there are people out there, obviously attorneys right now, looking to counter healthcare reform. Across the country, there are activist group, legislators, state officials. They're considering an array of legal maneuvers, as you know, Mark, designed to prevent all or part of the national healthcare reform effort from coming into law within their borders. Now, there are at least 12 state attorney generals that have vowed court challenges, more than three dozen states considering healthcare reform nullification bills, and the stage now, they say, is even set for several states to try to amend their constitutions to prevent the reforms from applying within their borders. First up, before we get to the constitutionality of this bill, I thought Fed Trump state. I mean, if there's federal law, it doesn't matter what a state has in their constitution. The federal law trumps them, and it applies, right?
That's exactly right. Article 6 of the Constitution has a supremacy clause. It says that this Constitution trumps every and federal law trumps every state law and every state constitution. We haven't seen this kind of challenge to federal authority, frankly, since the Civil War, when it was very clearly made clear, and no one could doubt that, sorry, Fed Trump state. And we really haven't seen these arguments since the old Confederacy. They have no chance of succeeding, but they will spend a lot of money, and I'm just wondering when taxpayers will get upset. For, you know, talk about frivolous lawsuits, talk about tort reform, these are the first lawsuits that should go.
You know, I was looking at some images from Associated Press of some of the Tea Party people. Let me share with you some of what they say, okay? Vote no, I don't want to be a government slave, okay? Hands off my health care, which is kind of funny because if you have health care, their hands aren't going to be on it. But if you don't, you need somebody to have the hands on you and health care to pay for it. Slaughter us and we'll slaughter you. I understand where this mindset comes from in the sense of the Rush Limbaughs and the right wing, you know, wackos on radio and television, etc. But, I mean, Mark, at the end of the day, you know, yeah, we have a lot of idiots out there in America, but we do have a lot of people who are fairly intelligent or, you know, very highly intelligent. What part of, if you don't have health care, you can get it now, do they not understand? And how do they feel this is tyranny? And how do they feel this is unconstitutional? Explain that to us. What's their mindset?
Well, you're talking, of course, about the Tea Party activists rather than the attorney generals and other Republicans running for higher office who are
We'll get to that, and we'll get to that in a minute because the Tea Party people are now borrowing their rhetoric and saying it's unconstitutional, even though I'm sure there are many people saying that don't even know what they're saying themselves.
I think the Tea Party protests are far bigger than health care, and I think the anger over health care, most of it, has nothing to do with health care. In my mind, as I explain it, you've got the kindling of the racism and sexism and homophobia that's always existed in American society. You have the flames of the greatest economic problems we've had since the Great Depression, and then you have the gasoline that's poured on by Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and Republican politicians, and that leads for a big explosion. Very little of this has anything to do with health care. There are legitimate reasons to oppose Barack Obama's plan, and we can talk about that, but very few Tea Party activists could even articulate them, much less be angry about them. You know, you could talk about the cost and things like that. Most of them, frankly, are being misled, and being misled by people like Rush Limbaugh, who, in fact, as you know, I just called out on MSNBC for quoting Hitler, for claiming Obama is some comparison to Hitler all the time, and then he responded by slandering me on air, which actually I took personal pride in. But I think that they're fanning the flames. I think that Fox News and Rush Limbaugh, and they're saying tyranny, they're saying socialists, they're saying you know, Obama's a Muslim, which he's not. Not that that's a critique, because it's not. There's nothing wrong with being a Muslim, but he's not a Muslim. But people are starting to believe all of this. In fact, a recent Harris poll showed that 38% of Republicans believe Obama is doing what Hitler did, and 24% say he's the Antichrist. So, and then 45% or so say he wasn't born in this country. So, yeah, there's a lot of politicians who are fanning the flames of ignorance and trying to use it to take office in November. I don't think it's going to succeed, though.
Okay. We're going to take a break, right, Marky Mark? We got to take a break? Yes? No? Yes? We got to take a break? We'll be back to our guest, Mark Levine. He is a radio talk show host. He is a great friend of mine, host of The Inside Scoop that you can hear each and every day at RadioInsideScoop.com. I'm Leslie Marshall. 8886 Leslie is our number. If you have questions or comments for Mark Levine, we are talking about all the lawsuits that are coming out state by state. Those who are fighting legally in the courts to counter health care reform and question and challenge whether it's constitutional or not. Questions, comments, opinions, concerns, it's your show, of, for, and by you, the people. Pick up the phone and join us with those at 888-6-LESLIE. And we're back. My guest is Mark Levine. He is a good friend of mine. He sits in for me. He is a talk show host himself. And he's also a former congressional attorney, and that's why we're talking to him about legality, constitutionality, et cetera, of healthcare reform. He podcasts every day at RadioInsideScoop.com, his website, The Inside Scoop, serving up all the news the government doesn't want you to know. He also sits in for me. He's a regular guest here and a personal and professional friend of mine. And let me tell you, my show is like my baby, so anybody I trust to fill in for me, that's a big deal. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. Let's talk about this. Legal challenges. The state of Alabama, right? I'm not going to go through every state. Alabama joins other states. Florida, Michigan, Nebraska, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, and Washington state in a joint legal challenge. And basically they're arguing that the bill tramples state sovereignty and illegally forces people to acquire insurance. Is that true? Especially since we talked about federal law trumping state law. And don't we have to have a license to get married, a license to fish, a license to hunt, a license to drive?
Well, there's a lot of issues there. First of all, you are right that, for example, many states require people to buy car insurance. So we do need licenses. I think the real challenge, though, I think that there are people who talk about state sovereignty, and that includes, in fact, the Attorney General of the state where I live, Virginia, and he's just full of it. Like I said, that no one has made those arguments seriously since the Civil War. But there are some arguments that they are making. They're also bad arguments, but that are a little less frivolous than the state sovereignty arguments. The argument is that the Constitution is a document that gives limited government to the federal government, and it's simply not one of the enumerated powers of the federal government to make you buy health insurance. This argument is wrong as well, but it's wrong for a few more subtle reasons than the stupid reason of states' rights, which, you know, as you point out, federal law trumps that. There are two provisions in the Constitution that do give the government, the federal government, Congress, the power to require you to buy health insurance. And they're both in Article 1, Section 8. One of them is the taxing and spending power. Congress has the power to tax and to spend it on the general welfare. To me, that answers the question right away. But if that weren't enough, there's also congressional power to regulate interstate commerce, and health care is considered interstate commerce. Even if it only affects you within your state, they might buy products from out of state. And in fact, the power to regulate interstate commerce is very broad. It was often used, in fact, to justify a lot of the civil rights laws. So those arguments are bad as well, just not as bad as the silly arguments about state sovereignty.
Well, when we talk about that, though, let's talk about when people say it's unconstitutional, and it's unconstitutional because this does not have to do, well, hang on, Mark, but be thinking about lines of commerce and interstate commerce, because I know that's an issue and that's an area that they're really trying to touch upon with regards to the Constitution. We'll be back to our guest, Mark Levine. We'll be back to you and your phone calls. So if you're holding, hang on. You want to join us? Pick up the phone and join us with your questions, your comments, your opinions, your concerns. 1-888-6-LESLIE. And we're back. My buddy Mark Levine in the house, a former congressional attorney, talking about law, talking about the legalities or lack of. Mark, thank you for holding. Welcome back. I want you to answer that question, then let's get to our calls. If you want to join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. I'm talking about states like Virginia, Mark, that they have an independent federal lawsuit plus pending legislation. According to the grounds from their attorney general, the federal government lacks the ability to force people to purchase insurance. Their legal challenge revolves around the Commerce Clause. Quote, if a person decides not to buy health insurance, that person by definition is not engaging in commerce. And they already passed a bill in Virginia saying that no Virginian can be required to purchase insurance. And it's expected to be signed into law. So my question is, how successful can they be, at least Virginia, in using the Commerce Clause? Because one thing they do have is, yeah, this is not engaging in commerce. Then again, it could also be argued neither is any requirement for insurance.
Well, they have zero chance of success. I happen to live in Virginia. I work in Washington, but I live just across the river in Virginia, and I happen to know Ken Cuccinelli very well. He is, in fact, it's interesting that no other attorney general in the United States joined his brief. There's another brief, as you pointed out, with 11 attorney generals, because he's making such a radical argument, which has no chance of success. Look, the Interstate Commerce Clause is very, very broad. There's a very famous case in the civil rights era called Ollie's Barbecue. And Ollie's Barbecue was some barbecue, I forget whether it was in Alabama or Mississippi, but they argued that they're only serving local people, they're only getting local meats, therefore they can't be regulated by interstate commerce. And the U.S. Supreme Court said, well, no, because some of the things in your restaurant were made out of state, and that's enough. In other words, you can get almost anything into interstate commerce. In this case, the Supreme Court has already held that insurance is a regulation, that is something that they can regulate. It is part of commerce. And one thing that I think we have to remember is that every single American has a right, before this legislation even passed, to emergency care. That means if you have no insurance whatsoever, there is a law.
86, wasn't it?
They're required to take care of you, even if you don't have
Mark,
insurance.
Wasn't it in wasn't it in 1986 under the first George H. Bush that it was signed into law?
That's exactly. Actually, it was Ronald Reagan, I believe.
Well, it was Reagan. It was right. It was before. I thought it was the first Bush.
But you're absolutely right. It does come from that, from the 80s. And so then the question is, well, how do you pay for it? I mean, if you're an American and you have no health insurance, you still have a right to emergency care. Are we saying that that these are things are free? Of course they're not. You have to pay for them. And that's why I always talk about the tax and spend clause as well as the interstate commerce clause. But, you got to remember, the government taxes us to pay for health care in Medicare and has since 1965. They take a piece out of your taxes, and that means that when you're 65, you get health care from the government when you're 65 years old. They've been doing that for 45 years. If they were to win their lawsuit, and they won't, but if they were to win this lawsuit, then they'd have to strike down Medicare as well, and no Supreme Court is going to strike down Medicare.
Let's take some calls. I have more questions because there are some that really confuse me, like Arizona's challenge to this. Let's go to the calls, and we go to Dean in Buffalo. Dean, question or comment for our guest, Mark Levine?
Well, first of all, it's great to talk to the world's greatest radio tag team. and I have a two-part question. Did this bill, in fact, pass both Senate and Congress?
Yes, it passed both Senate and House identically, and even the fix passed both.
Okay.
Yes.
This one is a question that is really near and dear to my heart. I'm on SSI. I was just wondering how, if any way, it'll affect me.
Well, I know that, for example, Medicaid is getting a lot more funding, and I also know that depending on your income, you will get either it fully paid for or you'll get a subsidy. The way it works is for an individual, I think it's about $20,000 you get fully paid, and then I think it's $45,000 you get a subsidy. For a family of four, it's $25,000 fully paid, and up to $88,000 you get a subsidy. So it's pretty generous to people in the middle and lower class to get subsidies.
All right.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, Dean.
Very good question. Let's go next to – what's going on, guys? It's not letting me drop. Okay. Our board is having a mind of its own tonight. Let's go to Andy. Are you in Pakistani, Pennsylvania? Punxsutawney's Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Is this where the groundhog comes out?
What?
Is this where the groundhog comes out or goes in?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, hello. Andy, hello. It's your town, please.
Andy knows Phil.
Okay. Andy, good evening.
Some of the comments you made about, I can hardly hear. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. As far as the state's rights clause goes, the part about not enumerated powers, it's not an enumerated power, but that is an empty clause.
Yeah, hold on, Andy. We can't understand you, so hold on. Let's wait till you get to a better place. We're not hanging up on you. We will come back to you. Let's try Nancy in Tonawanda. Nancy, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Question or comment for our guest, Mark Levine?
Yeah. Okay, Mark. The Tea Party people have been complaining a lot about the government taking over and everything, and I think that they have their argument backwards, because this new health care law actually takes money away from a government program, which is Medicare, and requires people to purchase health insurance from private companies. So it's actually putting money in the hands of the private companies rather than in the government.
Well,
I think their argument is backwards when they say the government's taking over.
Well, there's a lot of provisions to this bill. You're absolutely right. It's definitely not a government takeover. In fact, as I'm sure you know, we Democrats tried very hard to get, if not single-payer, universal health care, at least getting a public option. And in fact,
right,
the House bill had that option, and unfortunately, we couldn't get that through the Senate.
Right.
As far as taking money from Medicare, it does so, but in a very limited way. What it does is there are these Medicare Advantage programs. Maybe you know it. Maybe you have one of them that were basically subsidized private care, and that is going away. In other words, if it's good enough for private companies to do it without subsidy, they still can. And of course, there's always Medicare and Medicaid for the poor. But it's not taking away from the basic Medicare program at all. It's only taking away from these supplemental private programs that were subsidized by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they offered, many of them offered things like gym memberships and massages and other things that I really don't think should be subsidized as part of
right.
Medicare.
But the private companies are going to get a big benefit from all the additional customers.
They will. There's no question they will,
right.
Although there also are some very good regulations for these private companies. For example, one of the bill's provisions says that insurance companies, depending on their size, have to spend at least 80% or even for the larger ones, 85% of everything they take in on medical care. This is huge because many of them were making 30% profits, and
mm-hmm.
using it all for their corporate CEO. This means that they can't make more than 15 or 20% overhead costs. And
mm-hmm.
so that in and of itself, it punishes health insurance companies.
Oh, well,
all right.
That's good.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. We will take a break. And are we ready to break, guys, or can we do one more? No, we're going to break. We're going to break. When we come back, we'll go back to Andy. His line is clear. And to you, if you're holding, if you want to join us, question or comment, opinion or concern for my partner in crime, sits in for me, has his own great show, former congressional attorney and host of The Inside Scoop, that broadcasts live from his podcasting live every day at RadioInsideScoop.com. Mark Levine joins us. I'm Leslie Marshall. Hope you will too. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. And we're back. Leslie Marshall here. Welcome back. We are the only true democracy in talk radio. Mark Levine is my guest, also fills in for me a lot and has his own show called The Inside Scoop, where he podcasts daily from RadioInsideScoop.com. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. Let's try Andy again, shall we? Andy, are you with us?
Good evening, Leslie. Can you hear me now?
I hear you much better now, Andy. Question or comment for Mark, I guess.
Okay. I got to go quick because my phone's going to die. Enumerated powers, obviously, insurance isn't enumerated, but that is a weak argument. As far as tax and spend goes, the government may tax and spend, but requiring me to purchase from an individual company is not the government taxing and spending. So I think that argument is actually pretty weak. And as far as interstate commerce goes, that law is very old, very archaic, and probably does need to be reconsidered. And lastly, I would just say very quickly, we're talking about health care, and yet in the case of abortion, people demand choice, and yet they're going to put up with being mandated for buying insurance. That really just doesn't sound right. Thank you very much.
Respond briefly. The toxin spend clause, if you notice, in your Medicare, you're not buying from government doctors. You're buying from private doctors, and yet the government taxes you, and then in Medicare, you're buying from private doctors. I don't see any distinction between this health care bill. In fact, I think this health care bill is a lot less far-reaching than Medicare. And so if it goes, then obviously Medicare has to go as well. What was your second point? Sorry. Interstate Commerce, he wanted to redo it, and then he said... I forgot your third point. I'm sorry, Andy.
I forgot the third point too. Okay, let's go to Mike in Westchester. Hi, Mike. Good evening.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think we might be missing the point here. These people are lawyers. They're smart. They know that these things don't have any merit. It's not about the court case. It's about them getting up there and losing, so that they can tell the people, look, the federal government is encroaching on you. It's taking away your rights. It's taking away your freedoms. It's there to motivate their base. It's there to raise money. That's what this is really all about.
I agree with you completely, Mike. I think it's entirely political. I think there's
money.
A reason
yes.
why every one of them, save one, is a Republican, and they're filing these frivolous lawsuits so that they can help their political campaigns. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure that's part of it as well. I mean, they want to be seen as heroes of the Tea Party or the common man or whatever. And it just seems also interesting to me that when the Republicans were in charge and the cry was, how could you oppose the president? How could you be so unpatriotic and un-American? And now when people don't like things, it's how can you oppose the will of the people?
Okay.
I agree. I have nothing more to say, but you're right. I agree.
Yep, that's basically what it comes down to. I think that, unfortunately, too, as far as this violence goes, these people are opening up Pandora's box, and this may come back to bite them on the butt. All right, well, thanks for taking my call. You have a great night.
All right, you too, Mike, and a great weekend. Appreciate that. Mark, help me with some of these claims. The one that really I can't wrap my head around is Arizona, and I'm a little confused because Arizona basically says that they have their own. Let me see if I get this right. Let me just scroll.
They're trying to amend their constitution in Arizona.
Right, they're amending their constitution in Arizona, but they say the amendment prevents citizens from being forced to purchase health care and guarantees the right to purchase private coverage. Hello. I mean, if you know what I'm saying? If you have to purchase health care, what are the coverage
well,
can you purchase?
Because
you,
right,
you can't purchase Medicare, so isn't it all private?
It doesn't matter at all. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the Supremacy Clause. It's Article 6 of the Constitution, which says that this Constitution and the laws of the United States, or shall be made in pursuance thereof, I'm reading it right now, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state, to the contrary, notwithstanding. It's what you said at the very beginning of this hour, Leslie. It's a supremacy clause. You can change the Arizona Constitution all you want. It means nothing. Federal law trumps it.
So let's talk about commerce again, because this is going on and on, state by state, Florida, okay? Is the issue for them that you're forcing somebody to purchase insurance, or is the issue for them that you're fined if you do not? You know, people are saying, I'm going to go to jail if I don't have health care insurance. It's like, you idiot, if you go to the ER and they come after you and you can't pay your bill, you could still go to jail.
Well, you know, the fine is actually going to be administered by the Internal Revenue Service. It's just like not paying any tax. If you don't pay your taxes, they come after you. It's a tax, and that's why it's clearly under the tax and spend clause.
Absolutely blows my mind. This actually now let's talk. Let me see if there's any other state that I want to throw on here, because they pretty much all come from the same.
Mine's the worst. Virginia's the worst. At least the other states are making an argument that, you know, has been made before. Virginia is literally making the same arguments made in the Civil War. I mean, state nullification type arguments that are ridiculous if we hadn't fought a very bloody war over them.
But I don't understand why people like in Ohio, right? They have a citizen-initiated constitutional amendment. They need 400,000 signatures by June 30th, and this is a Tea Party-affiliated group called Cincinnati 912 Project. Signatures by June 30th to have its amendment considered, protecting the rights of Ohioans to opt out of the federal health care reform. Again, I mean, what part of Fed Trump state do they and the states not understand? and the legislators in this state.
I mean, are we going to retry the Civil War? I mean, frankly, South Carolina had a much better claim in 1860 than Ohio does today. At that time, you know, there were questions of whether states having entered a compact could actually leave that. But I think we've resolved this issue. That's why these things are, they're not just frivolous, they're actually dangerous. Because if people don't like what the federal government does, there's an easy way to fix it. And I'm sure that people will go to the polls and vote for their candidate of choice. And if they get, you know, a sufficient number in the House and the Senate and a president that's willing to repeal it, it'll probably wait till 2013, they can repeal it. It's not going to happen. The Republicans tried very, very hard to repeal
it. Well, wait, let's
security.
Get, before you get to why it isn't going to happen, also talk about some political grandstanding, because that's clear in Pennsylvania, where the state attorney general, Tom Corbett, is actually running for governor as a Republican. How much of this is political grandstanding? And now jumping on the tails of what you were saying there, Mark, how many of these cases will actually even be seen in a court of law?
Well,
how many of them will make it that far? Because you know there's going to be people that drop out of this whole thing.
Well, maybe. I mean, they'll hear the case. The people will lose. And then, you know, people could go on their way having spent taxpayer money. The irony about all of this is that...
Now, will this be argued so that people understand before their state Supreme Courts or before the Supreme Court?
Well, at the end of the day, everything can go up to the United States Supreme Court. It's a question of the Constitution. So we have a dual system. You can file in federal court, and then it goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Or you can file in state court. It goes up to your state Supreme Court, but it can still be overruled by the United States Supreme Court. The irony of all of this is that the state attorney generals don't have to do anything. Any citizen could challenge the constitutionality of this law, and the state attorney generals would be meaningless. That's why it's all political grandstanding. You know, it's going to be constitutional. If it were not constitutional, the state attorney generals wouldn't make a difference. Some conservative organization could just sue and challenge its constitutionality. The reason people are doing this is because most of the people doing it are running for office, and they want to be seen as grandstanding.
Mark had a question. Is this for Matt or Mark, this question? For Marky Mark. Well, you can ask it, Mark. Come on.
Oh, I was just wondering, basically, how do you think the Democrats can sell health care more effectively than they did over the past year with the midterm elections coming up? Because I think you and I both agree, Mark, that they could have done a much better job.
I agree they could have done a better job, but I actually think it's a lot easier to sell it now than it was any point up till now. Up till now, they didn't have a clear bill. There were bills in various committees. There was the Senate bill. There was the House bill. There was reconciliation. It was all very unclear. Now we have a law, not a bill. And the law has distinct provisions. And, for example, people can do like I did in responding to your caller. You know, she asked about specific provisions. I gave her specific answers. And there are answers now to give. When you have a law that's being, a bill that's being created, and it can go in many directions, it's very hard to give specific answers to specific questions. Now it's easy to do so. And one of the things we're learning already is that polls are better. I think the Republicans, frankly, I hope they run on health care, because I think health care will be seen as a big success. Once people find out what's in this bill, they like it. If you took individual portions of this bill, people like every one of them. Combined, it's a good bill.
Okay. Mark, one last thing I want to ask. If, in fact, these are the arguments that go to play, I mean, just two quick things, and we have less than a minute. You got a very conservative court there if it does make it to the Supreme Court. And aren't these arguments basically, couldn't Medicare be attacked for the exact same reasons?
It could, but even this conservative Supreme Court is not going to overturn Medicare. I'm confident of that. They're a radical court, but they're not that radical.
Okay. Wow, that was quick. Mark, I've never heard you that quick. You know I love you. Have
you
a great weekend.
You told me I had less than a minute. I used it.
I know you're good. You're good. All right, sweetie. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for joining us so soon.
Thanks
after your flight.
Thank you for having me, Leslie. I always enjoy being on the show.
We always love having you. I'm Leslie Marshall. Marky Mark, you rock. Matt, great job yesterday and today sitting in with us and our crew. And America, have a wonderful weekend. Be safe, be healthy, have fun. I'm Leslie Marshall.